knows what inflation means, right? Well, actually, you'd be surprised to know how fuzzy some of that thinking really is. Hi, I'm Rob West. Is inflation a rise in prices or simply high prices? Or does it mean something else entirely? The results of a recent poll may surprise you, but we've got Mark Biller with us today to explain it. And then it's on to your questions at 800-525-7000. That number, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Our guest, Mark Biller, is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they absolutely know what inflation is. He's a regular guest and contributor here, and we always look forward to our time together. Mark, great to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Let me mention, folks, while Mark is here, it's a great opportunity to get your investing-related questions in the mix. If you want to talk about inflation and the economy, we can certainly do that. But really, anything market-related, as you're thinking about your long-term investments, how to position your portfolio, how to navigate these markets, those questions are in play for at least this portion of the broadcast with Mark Biller. 800-525-7000. We'll begin to take those calls here in just a moment. So call right now, 800-525-7000. All right, Mark, what's going on here? You recently noted a survey where people's understanding of what inflation actually means was all over the map. So why don't we begin there?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. So what caught my eye was this recent survey of 2,200 people asking them how they define the term inflation. Now, not surprisingly, just about everybody, 86%, said they were worried about inflation. But when we got into what is inflation, things started to get a little squirrely. You know, some people thought inflation meant a rise in prices. Others thought it meant just high prices. There was a lot of general confusion about time periods and other details. So it was a really hazy picture that emerged from these survey results. Now, Specifically, the survey found that fewer than half the respondents defined inflation as a rise in the cost of goods and services. And that is actually the correct definition of inflation. This fuzziness was across the board. It was about the same between like college grads and non-college grads. A lot of people just thought, you know, inflation's a general increase in prices, which is more or less correct, but only about half the people got that right. Among the other responses, about 20% of people said that inflation just meant high prices. About a third said it meant that prices were rising faster than wages. And where things really got dicey was when people were asked if inflation was higher today than it was a year ago. Two-thirds said it was. Technically, it isn't. But we're going to get into all that. There's a lot to unpack here today.
Yeah, that is fascinating. And the survey, of course, shows that many people have a fundamental misunderstanding of what inflation actually is. But they do seem to know that it isn't good and wish it would go away, right?
Yeah, exactly. And a huge part of the problem is there is a fundamental disconnect between how economists and financial media talk about inflation and how normal people experience inflation. So economists talk about the rate of change of prices. And so they would say, you know, that rate of change peaked at 9% per year 2 years ago, summer of 2022. And that rate of change has declined to about 3% today. So economists and financial types tend to say, yay, inflation has declined. But what they actually mean by that is that rate of increase in prices has slowed down from 9% to 3%. Well, that's a totally different thing than prices actually going down. Prices aren't going down. They're just rising at a slower rate than they were a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Mark. Well, of course, there's a lot to continue to unpack here. This is an important topic. It has implications not only on the prices of things as we show up at the grocery store and get our renewal for our car insurance premium and a whole host of other things, but it has implications for the Federal Reserve and the U.S. and global economies as well. So we'll continue to unpack this with Mark Biller today. We'll also be taking your questions today. Mark is an investing expert. He's the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. And if you have questions about your own portfolio or how to navigate this market, you can call right now. We'll take those calls after the break. 800-525-7000. Back with Mark Biller after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's a view out there that thinks of God's creation like that of a watchmaker. Once he's made the watch, he sets it down and leaves it alone. Does Scripture agree with that view? Amos 9:6 says, "He builds his lofty palace in the heavens and sets its foundation on the earth. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name." This verse paints a majestic picture of God's power, active and interacting with creation. He's the one who intricately designed the heavens and established the earth. The waters obey every word. He is not distant, but close to every one of us. Get more daily encouragement from Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. With me today, my friend Mark Biller. Mark is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. SMI has been a longtime partner of our program here, going all the way back to Howard Dayton and Larry Burkett, and we're always delighted when Mark stops by. We're talking inflation today. What is it? How will it impact you at the grocery store and across the board, but also its effect on the economy and the stock market? We're taking your investing-related questions during this portion of the broadcast, and we'll turn our attention to those here in just a moment. So if you have a question today on investing, the markets, your portfolio, retirement, how do you think about your portfolio in light of some recent strength, but also some challenges ahead, you can call right now. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. 525-7000. Mark would love to take your questions today. Mark, before the break, you were talking about inflation and the rate of change. You know, the economists that talk about the rate of change in prices, that we peaked at 9% right after the pandemic in terms of inflation. It's declined somewhere around 3% today, but that doesn't mean that prices are going down. So talk about how the average person experiences inflation.
Yeah, so unlike the economists, real people experience inflation cumulatively. So yeah. They don't really care that much that the annual rate of inflation has round-tripped from 3% to 9% and back to 3% over the last few years. You know, that's kind of the Wall Street story and implies that prices are getting back to normal, and that's absolutely not the case. That's not what people are experiencing. The real world story is that the cumulative cost of this inflation adventure has inflation in total going about 25% higher from the aftermath of COVID 4 years ago. Prices are up about 25%. And that's true whether you're using the actual CPI inflation data from the government or sources like Trueflation, which tracks the changes in actual prices. And the psychological impact of everything costing 25% or so more is just huge. You know, we all remember this hasn't happened like over two decades. This has happened over 3 or 4 years. So we all roughly remember what we were paying for things 3 or 4 years ago before this inflation spike. And we're painfully aware that everything we buy now costs so much more.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So suffice it to say, it sounds like prices aren't going back down, right?
Yeah, that's unfortunately correct. You know, the dirty secret of inflation is the prices almost never go back down. You know, we've seen that inflation rate come back down, but that's just the pace of future additional price increases. So we're kind of stuck with this 25% bump higher. Now, you know, of course, wages have gone up some too, but nonetheless, it's been a big adjustment in a short amount of time.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, we're going to dive into your questions here on the market and your investment portfolio with Mark Biller here in just a moment. So if you have investing-related questions, you can call right now and speak with Mark, 800-525-7000. Mark, let's talk about this idea of inflation being transitory. That's what we heard after the initial spike in inflation. Was that an illusion?
You know, I'd say yes and no, Rob. You know, the misunderstanding over that transitory word is largely the difference between this financial understanding of inflation versus the cumulative change that we've just been talking about. Now, I will say I don't believe for a second that the Fed thought that the cumulative inflation would go as high or last as long as it has. But in the broad context, you know, the rate of inflation was sort of transitory. It spiked from 3 to 9 and then has come back down to 3 within a couple years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess if you squint, you can kind of give them credit for that one.
Yeah.
But again, normal people really don't care about that. It's really the price level that impacts normal people. And so I would say, you know, in grading their communication, it was pretty bad because at best, I think the Fed knew that prices were going to go up and then, you know, at best probably plateau at some higher level. And so that communication about it being transitory was problematic at best. It was borderline a disaster given that inflation ran so far so fast. I think they could have done a much better job of communicating what people should expect.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll continue to unpack this, including what does the future of inflation look like? How might that affect the economy and your stock portfolio? Let's begin to take some questions today. Mark Biller here with Sound Mind Investing, and he'd love to weigh in on any investing-related questions while he's with us. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Let's go to Georgia. David, you'll be first up, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
So I am 61, about to turn 62. I am retiring from the federal government. I have, about $1 million into thrift savings plan and about $50,000 off in a company called another company.
Sure.
My question is this. And could you compare and contrast Fidelity and Vanguard, keeping in mind my particular point in life in that I'll need to do a rollover and work with somebody that can enable things in the future, such as trying to invest or trying to take some of my money and put it towards my church, charitable contributions.
Over. Yeah, very good. I will get Mark to weigh in on that. Just to clarify, though, I understand the question about Vanguard versus Fidelity, but are you looking, as you roll this out when that time comes, David, to hire an advisor to take discretion over this and make those decisions for you, or did you have something else in mind?
So that's a really good question. And I understand that at least one of these companies have their own advisors. I have been looking at some of the, I'm trying to think of the ones that you guys all.
Yeah, the Certified Kingdom Advisors.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you can, weigh in on that as well.
Yeah, very good. Mark, we have just a minute before the break. I'll let you get started on this. We may need to pick it up on the other side, but general thoughts?
Yeah, so let's tackle the Fidelity Vanguard thing first, and maybe we can come back to a couple of the bigger picture questions. David, the biggest distinction in my mind between going with Fidelity versus Vanguard is Vanguard is kind of the premier index fund shop. Now, Fidelity also will do indexing, but Fidelity kind of, their background, their reputation is a little bit more on the active managed side. So they have more active strategies. Vanguard is passive indexing is kind of their main focus. Both of them are probably going to do a good job for you in terms of figuring out asset allocation, division between stocks and bonds and that sort of thing. But you're going to have kind of a inherent bias towards active maybe at Fidelity, towards passive and indexing at Vanguard. And we'll come back and talk about a few more of the details around what might be best for you in a minute.
Yeah, that's great. We'll do that right on the other side of this break. David, stay right there. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association, informing, equipping, and activating to transform American culture.
After the resurrection, when Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth, he commissions his disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded them.
We at the American Family Association seek to aid the church in our great commission.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
If you believe in the work of the American Family Association and you want to ensure that it continues for generations, consider including a gift in your will or trust. It's one of the most popular and effective ways to give. You'd simply connect with one of your advisors who would help you include language in your will or trust to include a specific gift to the American Family Association. If you'd like to learn more or connect with an advisor who can help you with that, just go to AFAFoundation.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Mark Biller. Mark is executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, a longtime underwriter of this program. We're talking inflation today. We're also talking about your investing-related questions at 800-525-7000. Before the break, David in Georgia was asking about Vanguard versus Fidelity. He's about to retire from the U.S. government. He's got about $1 million in a TSP. He's got an emergency fund. He's considering hiring an advisor at that point. You gave a helpful description, Mark, of the strengths of both Fidelity and Vanguard before the break. Talk about the decision to hire an advisor and the various approaches after you've built a nest egg over a lifetime of working, and now you're transitioning into capital preservation and distribution.
Yeah. So, David, you made a critical point in your question, maybe without even meaning to, when you mentioned that the charitable giving side of your planning is very important to you. And one of the things that we hear all the time with our SMI advisory clients is we'll have people who come over and become clients, and we'll start talking to them about some of the opportunities there are for charitable giving through things like qualified charitable distributions, QCDs, and things like this. And they're often blown away and surprised, and we'll get questions like, why didn't my last advisor talk to me about these types of things? And I think really, David, what it comes down to is a lot of advisors, one, they don't have a ton of interest in that from their secular clients, so it's not really on their radar. But two, a lot of advisors don't really want you giving your money away because most advisors are paid on a percentage of what they're managing for you. So if you're giving money away, that's effectively lowering the amount of assets that they're managing for you and lowering what they earn. And so a lot of advisors won't bring that up. And so when you're asking about Fidelity, Vanguard, Schwab, these different secular companies, I think most of them will do a pretty good job for you, the big ones, with the financial nuts and bolts stuff. These guys know their stuff. They work with tons of clients. They're going to give you good counsel in those terms, but they're not necessarily going to be tuned into the specific things that are most important to you. And so that's where coming back to like an SMI Kingdom Advisor a Kingdom Advisor like you hear about on this program all the time, or an SMI Stewardship Advisor, you're going to get a little bit of a different flavor and a different insight working with an advisor that shares your values than you are with someone where you're kind of telling them, this is what I want to do, but you may be one of the only clients that they have that really is pursuing that path. So they're just not as familiar. They may not know all of the tools the way a Christian advisor would. So I would say that's an important consideration. And at least when you're looking at advisors, you know, sure, go ahead and talk to Fidelity and Vanguard, talk to their advisors, but I would also include at least one Kingdom Advisor and or SMI Stewardship Advisor as you're interviewing so that you'll get a little bit of a a broader flavor of what's out there. Rob, I'm sure you've got a few thoughts here too.
Well, it's well said. And so I really don't have anything to build there. I would just say, if you want to find a CKA there in Georgia, David, just go to faithfi.com. You can learn more about SMI at soundmindinvesting.org. But does that cover it for you, sir?
That is awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you and all the best to you in this next season. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your questions for Mark Biller today. To Mississippi we go. Hi, Ann. How can we help you?
Yes, sir. I'm with Wells Fargo. I have about $300K. Mm-hmm. And I met with him recently, which I haven't done in a long time. My fault mainly, I think, but they charged high fees to buy and sell. He told me he was going to buy this, he's going to sell this. He showed me the charts in our meeting on the computer, how it was gone down or up, so forth. But I wound up getting charged $1,300 worth of fees by the time he got through doing all that. That seemed awful high to me.
Well, let me just say, you know, Wells Fargo has some wonderful CKAs there, so it's a great institution in terms of a platform. But, Mark, help her understand perhaps the difference between transaction charges and management fees and what might be appropriate.
Yeah, so, and the whole advisory industry has gone through a pretty big change over the last 10 to 20 years. It used to be the most common way to charge customers was through commissions. And so when you would buy and sell, the customer would pay these fees, some of which would then go to the advisor or broker, and that's how they made their money. Over the last, decade or more, that has largely transitioned over to more of a flat percentage fee, where the advisor charges, say, 1% or whatever rate on the amount of money that they're managing for you. And the reason people tend to like that is it aligns your interests with the advisor so that both of you want the account balance to go up, because they'll make more if they're charging a flat, say, 1%. If your balance goes up, they make more. And, of course, you're happy because your balance is going up. So it's hard for me to know for sure, Ann, what happened here. It could be that you are still in more of a commission-based advisory type of compensation structure. So I would ask about that. It could also be that the specific products you were in had some specific fees, like annuities will often have surrender charges and things like that. So it could be a mixture of those things, but I would just ask for clarity on exactly, how you're paying these fees. And if that's that $1,300 is like all you're paying for the year and your advisor's doing a good job for you, other than that, that's not too bad. But if that's a regular thing, you might need to look into that a little more closely.
That's well said. Ann, thanks for your call today. Back with more and inflation. We'll continue the conversation after this. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit GiveShoesToday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's GiveShoesToday.org.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Mark Biller is with us, been with us on the broadcast today. We're talking inflation. Mark is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn a lot more at soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, going back to the topic of inflation for a moment, you were really helpful in clarifying for us what inflation is. And obviously, based on where we started today with this massive survey, we see there's a lot of misunderstanding about inflation. You also helped us understand just how it's cumulative. And even though it's been coming down, that's the rate of increase, not necessarily any kind of falling prices. But let's talk about where we go from here. What does the future of inflation look like in your view?
Yeah, it's a big question, obviously, Rob. And I think it does matter whether we're talking about like the immediate short term versus a little bit longer term. You know, the last few months, we've seen slower economic data. The economy seems to have been slowing just a little bit. And right on cue, the inflation data has been coming down with that. That's pretty typical. And that is making people kind of excited that the Fed may actually be able to finally deliver on the interest rate cuts that they started promising back last December. The problem, Rob, is that every time we've seen this happen over the last couple of years, we have a little bit of a slowdown. We see interest rates come down as a result. Well, that has tended to then kick economic activity back up. We've got a lot of rate-sensitive activity in the economy. A lot of, think about people trying to or wanting to sell their homes, but they can't because the mortgage rates are too high. So interest rates come down a little bit. You get more people who say, okay, now I'm going to do it. And the activity picks right back up. We've talked in past programs about some of the parallels to the 70s. And one of the features of the 70s was we had these three big waves of inflation. Inflation went up, then came way down during softer economic conditions, only to then return and go back up again. And I think that we could be moving in that type of direction, and that's based on some of the longer-term structural factors that have changed really over the last 4 years. One of those is just the inflationary expectations have really started to become embedded. We've had over 3 years of higher inflation. People start changing their expectations and behaviors. I think you see this maybe most clearly in the headlines you see from time to time about this or that. You know, labor union is turning down an 18% pay increase because it's just not enough. to right. keep up with inflation. And so that kind of keeps that spiral going. You know, we've written a fair amount at SMI about some of these structural reasons why we think persistently higher inflation is likely to be with us for a while. Because of those things, the globalization trend kind of reversing to a deglobalization, reshoring, those are inflationary types of factors. War and conflict is an inflationary factor. There are a number of these things, and so I won't be terribly surprised if eventually the Fed has to kind of cave and revise their inflation target higher from the 2% that they've maintained as their target now for a long, long time to maybe 3% or more. I think that, you know, we'll have these pulses where inflation comes down, but I won't be surprised if we really struggle to drive that down below 3% long term.
Mark, if that's the case, does that mean then looking out over the next decade that we may need to settle for lower average annualized returns versus what we've experienced the last 20 years? And could that present a stagflation situation where we have higher than expected persistent inflation with slower growth?
It certainly could. You know, one of the things that higher inflation doesn't necessarily imply slower economic growth, but when they do come together, that's really the double-barrel doozy that you yeah. want to avoid. You know, if you have, you know, one of the misconceptions about the 70s was that the whole decade was slow growth. And if you go back and look at it, that really wasn't the case. We had really high nominal growth. We just had really high inflation as well. So that's a little more manageable. Towards the end of that decade is when we started to get into the stagflation and the malaise that kind of colors our view of that period. You definitely could see that, though, on the investing side. You know, one of the features of the 70s was that through that long period of inflation, in nominal terms, not inflation-adjusted terms, the stock market was basically flat from 1968 to 1982, and it lost about 60% of its value after inflation. So we do have to have our eyes open to the possible investing implications of higher inflation. That's one of them. The other big one is that bonds tend to be really poor performers in inflationary environments. And that's just because if you think about what a bond is, it's promising you a fixed rate of return, the interest rate. Well, if inflation is eating away the value of that interest rate, then that's a bad setup. So bonds, you know, could definitely be a challenge. It's not all bad news, though. You know, savers the last couple of years have really enjoyed the higher interest rates, getting 5% on these savings vehicles after getting close to zero for the last decade. You know, that's kind of the upside. And I guess as we're rounding out the investing implications, I would just say, you know, that you also have you know, a better setup for real assets, things like real estate and gold, the commodities of all types, really. The type of real stuff that makes your toe hurt when you drop it on your toe, real stuff tends to go up in value along with all these other prices. So commodities, energy stocks, those types of tangible assets tend to perform really well. They have over the last couple of years, and we think that'll probably continue. So we've been emphasizing commodities and precious metals, slightly pulling back on bonds as a way to offset the impact of higher inflation and corresponding higher interest rates that usually go along with it.
Mark, we don't have a lot of time left. I'd love to just quickly get your thoughts, though. I mean, as we look at this through a biblical worldview, when we think about God's word, it talks about just weights and measures. I mean, is this easy money that led to inflationary environments like we're in now counter to Scripture because of the impact on the poor and others in particular?
Yeah, I think that's a strong case to make that is in fact the case. And you know, there have been decisions that have been made that in hindsight really look like they were poor ones or at least questionable, you know, coming out of the great financial crisis in 08. We chose to kind of bail out the financial system and direct most of the recovery support to the financial system, which really pushed those asset prices higher. And then in COVID, you know, the direct stimulus really pushed general marketplace prices higher. So some of this has been policy driven for sure.
Very good. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today, Mark. This has been enlightening. We always appreciate our time. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you, Rob.
Folks, you can learn a whole lot more about Sound Mind Investing at soundmindinvesting.org, soundmindinvesting.org. Back with more of your questions on anything right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
And if Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and we know that way, and there are people all around us who are lost and don't know that way, should we not be seeking by every means at our disposal to point them to that way? I think we should.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The I Am Statements of Jesus, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to turn our attention now to questions on any financial topic, whatever you'd like to chat about here in our final segment today. We'd love to tackle it with you, whether you're thinking about your spending plan, maybe it's paying down debt, maybe it's continuing the investing related question, or as Mark shared, giving wisely, you know, having an advisor who can walk alongside you in your planning, who understands your values, is something we think is really important, because here's the reality. When you lay a biblical worldview on top of financial decision making, there are differentiators. You approach money differently, beginning with the idea that God owns it all and we're stewards. That's a game changer when we know that every spending decision is ultimately a spiritual decision. And then as we start with our faith and allow that to inform our financial decisions, it causes us to approach everything differently, lifestyle and the idea of a financial finish line for both for our spending month to month as well as our long-term accumulation. There's differentiators there. There's differentiators in how we approach retirement and our giving and generosity, even how we might deploy capital through our investments. Well, that's where an advisor who shares your values can bring that counsel to bear in light of biblical wisdom. And it's why we talk a lot about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation here at Faith and Finance, the only industry designation in financial services for biblically wise financial advice. And you can find a CKA in your area when you go to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. By the way, we have a new search tool we just rolled out recently. It allows you to say whether or not you want a CKA who offers traditional investments or someone who can specifically offer you screened faith-based investments, where you might screen out certain companies misaligned with your values, screen in others promoting human flourishing. And so you have that ability to select the right CKA for you, again, at faithfi.com. All right, let's take as many questions as we can between now and the end of the program. Lines are open. I've got room for a couple right now at 800-525-7000. Any financial topic is in play today. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hi, Marie. Go right ahead.
Hello. Hello. My question is, my husband's wallet has been lost, and his Social Security card was in that wallet. Mm. So I'm wondering if we think we've done covered everything, but I'm not sure. I wondered if there's something more we could do. We canceled our credit card.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about that, Marie. I know that's a hassle, and so I'm delighted you're being proactive and taking some steps to ensure you won't have any ongoing challenges. I think number one is if you reorder that Social Security card, probably a better idea to keep that locked up in a fireproof safe where you can, you know, grab it and use it as needed if you needed to take it and use it for verification somewhere. But probably not a good idea moving forward to keep that in the wallet for precisely the reason we're talking about today. You did the right thing in terms of contacting your bank and any credit card issuers and notifying them. They'll make a note on the account and will be quick to alert you of any suspected fraudulent activity. They're going to issue new cards, probably already have, with new numbers. You're going to want to monitor all of those accounts probably even more closely than you have historically, just to make sure that, you know, if you have any unauthorized activity on any of those accounts, specifically the ones where, you know, there was cards in the wallet, that you'll quickly pick up on those. Good news is you're not going to be liable for that if you report it on a timely basis. But if you don't know about it and they don't catch it, then obviously that can go on and in some cases even past the reporting period. So that's why you're going to want to stay on top of it. I would go online and freeze your credit reports with each of the three credit bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. Each of them, you will have to do that separately. There is no cost to do it. You can do it either online or over the phone. Again, those three credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion. By freezing those credit reports, essentially you're putting a PIN number on them. And if somebody tried to open an account in your name fraudulently because they now have your Social Security number, and so if they were to try to impersonate your husband and open an account, in order to open a line of credit or a credit card or take out a loan, every lender is going to want to pull a lender's copy of your credit report. Well, they won't be able to do that unless you provide or the fraudster provides your PIN number. They won't have it, and therefore they'll be stopped in their tracks. So even though it adds a little bit of complexity on you if you're ever trying to seek a new loan, because now you have to provide this. Again, it's not a big deal, but I think that would be a helpful free next step that you can take. And then finally, I would say just let's pull a copy of those credit reports from each of those three agencies, probably every 90 days for the next three quarters at annualcreditreport.com. What you'd be looking for is any fraudulent activity, basically where you see a new account show up that you didn't authorize or and you don't recognize. You'd want to then dispute that with the credit reporting agencies, which is a very customary process that's outlined by the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And they have 30 days to either verify that it's accurate and provide proof or delete it and get rid of it. And then you would know where to follow up to get that account closed since it was open in bad faith. But are those things helpful to you?
They are. And we already have frozen our credit.
Great.
But do you say to check it every 90 days for how long?
I would just say for the next maybe three quarters. So, you know, for maybe three times. And that way, you know, if you had any new activity, something that didn't show up this month, but, you know, a month or two from now, you know, if you pull it again and then maybe one more time, 3 months after that, you should be covered.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And we had asked for a new Social Security number, but they will not issue that. So.
Yeah, and that's going to create a lot of complexities. I'd advise you not to do that. You know, unfortunately, Social Security numbers do get out, and it happens not only by your situation where you lose a card, but also just in terms of your information being compromised when it's stored by someone else that is a trusted source, including the U.S. government, or it could be a healthcare provider. So it happens, but as long as you're exercising best practices, you're going to catch anything that was, you know, where your identity was stolen. So I wouldn't worry about that as long as you're doing the right things to monitor it. And again, even if they would change it, it would just create so many problems long term with, you know, Social Security benefits and other things that I think it would just not be worth it.
Okay. Right. Well, I feel better.
Good. Well, you guys will get through this. Unfortunately, it happens. I know it's a hassle, but you're doing the right things, and I'm delighted that you're on the program today, Marie. Call anytime. Let us know if we can help you further. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We have just a few moments left today. You know, I was talking a moment ago about the importance of having an advisor who shares your values. One of those reasons is around the idea of, you know, understanding God's word and the idea of accumulation, how much is enough. Another is so that you can consider how you deploy investments and whether you're going to align your values with those investments. It's a really exciting new growing space in the investing world now, where some world-class investments are available that allow you to have an explicitly faith-based approach with very compelling investment opportunities that are going to do as well or better than others. These are award-winning funds. And if you'd like to find a list of those fund families, either for your own knowledge or to perhaps pass along to your advisor and say, hey, will you check these out and see if you think any of these deserve a place in my portfolio? Our friends at the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, which is an educational initiative of Eventide, have put together a list of options. These are mutual funds and ETFs specifically that are aligned with the Christian faith. You can download that list for free at faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. FI. You can check that out today. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll go up to Tennessee. Hi, Philip. How can we help you?
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking my call, and
yes,
thank
sir.
You for what you do.
Thank you.
My wife and I, we're senior citizens. We're 68, 69. I'm still working, and we recently have gained custody of our 10-year-old granddaughter. Her father passed away, and her mother is not in her life, and we're just wanting some direction and understanding as it relates to setting up a trust
yes.
for her for later in life. And so we're obviously brand new at parenting again. And so any advice you have would be appreciated.
Well, first of all, Philip, I'm delighted you called. Secondly, God bless you for stepping in and providing this needed caretaking role in this little one's life. And man, that's on the heart of God. I know that's making the Lord smile. So kudos to you guys. Two things immediately come to mind. One is to make sure you update your will, because that's how you're going to name a guardian in the event you and your wife were to both pass away. You want that guardian named as to who would be the next guardian after you, and that comes through just your basic will. Beyond that, you're right on. I would be putting a revocable trust in place. That's going to basically dictate how you will pass along assets according to your wishes when you die, and in whatever time frame you set. It's also going to allow you to place conditions on that. So the money may be distributed over time. It may happen at certain triggering events, you know, specifically for college and at certain intervals throughout her life. Plus, you'd also name a successor trustee to execute your wishes once you've gone to home to be with the Lord and be that trusted person to oversee the trust and distribute the assets accordingly. So I think your next step is to visit with your estate attorney. If you don't have one, I'd head to our website at faithfi.com, and any one of those CKAs could refer you. But you want to update your will with the guardian, and you want to get that revocable trust set up. God bless you, Philip. I'm sorry I didn't have more time, but thanks for being on the program. A big thanks to my team today, Taylor Stanrich, Devin Patrick. We're also grateful for Pat Montague and Adam Suddeth as well. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.